Our guest in studio this evening is award-winning poet and best-selling author Mary Carr. Her latest work is called Lit, the long-awaited sequel to her critically acclaimed and New York Times best-selling memoirs The Liars Club and Cherry. A born storyteller, she writes and speaks with the same joy and sorrow found in her poetry and her prose. A sought-after speaker, Mary Carr has given distinguished talks at prestigious universities, libraries, and writers' festivals, including Harvard, Oxford, Princeton, Brown, and my alma mater, Syracuse University, where she actually spoke with Salman Rushdie. Her first memoir, The Liars Club, was recently named number 4 on Entertainment Weekly's list of the top 100 books of the last 25 years. Her newest book, Lit, has been hailed as the memoir of the season by Library Journal. And here to share part of her story with us, Mary Carr. Welcome to the Busted Halo Show.
Hello, Father Dave. I'm too excited.
You're too excited. Well, now, you and I met in church.
I know. People don't really believe I'm Catholic. Somebody said, I think you just became Catholic to have something to write about.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's so fashionable to be Catholic among the intelligentsia. They just think, oh, wow.
They think, oh, that's a big deal.
Now you've won the dance contest, yeah.
But there we were. We had Mass, you know. You came up and said, hey. How you doing, Father Dave? And you said, yeah, I listened to the podcast. It was great.
No, it was even better than that. Father Dave said he had a youth ministry, and I listened to Busted Halo. I have Busted Halo and PrayAsYouGo.com, a great Jesuit,
oh, yeah, that's good, yeah.
Jesuit website that I download. But I listen to you guys all the time, and I was in there thinking, I've been sort of paraded before every kind of secular audience in America.
And right.
We're all the Catholics, you
sure,
know? I had one little... talk with a book club at the Opus Dei Center in Washington, D.C. And I was like, where are all the darn Catholics? And there you were, and I was trying to give you money.
Thank you.
You said that you had this youth ministry, and when the envelope had Busted Halo on, I was like, Father Dave. It's me, Mary.
Me, Mary. And then I said, wait a minute, that Mary Carr? And as a matter of fact, our editor-in-chief at BustedHalo.com had been thinking for the last couple of weeks, how can we get an interview with Mary Carr? And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I bumped into her at church, so probably a good deal.
Now, you know what I had a student say to me today? He said, is the Catholic Church mad at you? And I said, for what?
Yeah.
Writing about becoming Catholic? He
right.
said, well, because you're a bad Catholic. I said, how do you know I'm a bad Catholic? What do you mean? I go to Mass. I say confession. I pray the rosary. I give money. What do you? I do charitable work. Come on.
Yeah.
But this is a kid who's an atheist, and he just assumed that you guys would be after me with like a switch and a whip. And I'm like, I have a little bit of a potty mouth, but I've had a lot of mercy from the church.
Well, mercy is ideally why we're in business, right?
That's what I need.
Well, you've written amazingly to some people. 3 memoirs.
I know. Isn't that embarrassing?
Well, it's not embarrassing.
It's shameful. I know. It's okay.
I was reading an interview that you'd done in a written, what do they call those things that they used to actually print up? Magazines and things like that. Back in the day before the digital. And they said that, you know, you wondered if you'd have something to talk about in the interview. Does that mean you've given it all to us in all the books?
That's it. For
you're
$26,
done.
It's yours.
You've done it. I bet there's even more, though. You could probably squeeze out some more.
I don't have any plans for that. But I really do. I know this. Maybe this won't sound insane, but to my secular audience, I always say on Fresh Air, I say talking about spiritual matters to a secular audience is like doing card tricks on the radio. But the truth is, I pray about what to write, and I try to be guided. I turned down for this book, Lit, a huge advance, a vast wow. advance from 2 different publishers in 2000, and later came to write the book really in a way I think I was guided to it. I mean,
wow.
and it was such a surprise. I was in Prague at a writer's festival, and I started writing this letter to my son about his own spiritual journey. He's 23 mm-hmm. now. Then he was 18, and I wound up at a party in London on the way home, and who should be there but one of the editors who had offered me the money and my agent, my book agent.
Wow.
So I was invited to this party that I didn't know anybody. I was kind of being dragged. And now when I tell a secular audience that I was guided there by the Holy Spirit in order to sell this book, and I finally felt like it was what I was supposed to do,
sure.
what I was being guided to do was write the book. Then I took the big fat advance.
That's what we call a vocation in the Catholic Church. Well, now you mentioned your son, and in the book you describe it, it was kind of him that sort of got you in a church in the first place. You brought along a book to read in case you'd be bored, right?
I used to bring a paperback to Mass. I really did. He said to me, I want to go to church one Sunday morning. And I said, oh, yeah, right. Why? There was no sentence he could have said, but the sentence he said that could have gotten me to church. And he said, to see if God's there.
Wow.
And I thought, boy, out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
So we started this thing that I called God-a-rama, where we went, anybody with any faith practice at all, we would go. I went to Jewish midrashes. I went to a zendo. I went to, you know, fundamentalist Christian churches. I went every, you know, those liberal churches that are almost not churches I went to. And if you had told me I was going to convert to Catholicism,
wow,
I would have said, I'll be a drug mule first. I mean, I would not have expected to be drawn into the church. And, you know, again, I think the Holy Spirit guides us.
Sure.
I feel very guided. It was, you know, not any kind of renegade church. There actually is such a church in Syracuse where Jerry Berrigan goes, and the old leftist from the 70s who opposed Vietnam, a lot of the old Jesuits who did a lot of political work. But this was just run by a regular parish priest, yep. Father Kane, uh-huh. who I describe as a theological ninja. He was, there's just, you know, I'd read Hans Kung and
sure.
Summa Theologica, and I was ready to do battle.
But he had those little stars that he throws.
I don't know what I think.
Theological stars.
Here's my theory, really, okay. about why I converted. This is horrible.
All right.
I was asked to write about God-a-rama for Vogue magazine, which I call Vogue magazine, and which I only buy, by the way, for the articles. And I wrote about this faith journey, and I said, will we ever find a church? Because when I first went to Mass, I brought a paperback.
Yeah.
And just so I could sit in the back and read, and gradually I started being lured in by, actually, when people would state their intentions, when they were praying for other people.
Sure.
To see people in a public arena bring their hopes and their fears, you know, I have a son who's going in for surgery, or my daughter's coming back from Afghanistan, or, you know, a prayer of thanksgiving for my mother who survived heart surgery. I found really moving to see those intense things being brought into community.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea for that our church, that we actually pray together and we pray for peace, we pray for the Pope, you know, that we pray for each other is one of the parts of the tradition I really love.
Our guest this evening, New York Times bestselling author Mary Carr. Her new book is called Lit. The Liars Club got tremendous acclaim. Was that something that at that point in your career was expected, surprising? Did you know what to deal with all that when people start saying this is one of the best books of the last 25 years?
You know, I've got to tell you, Father Dave, I was a poet in America. There's no way to tell you the shame that goes with that. I mean, maybe being a seminarian is equally
close.
Difficult.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, I would go to give poetry readings. You know, paid. You know, and I'd be paid in Triscuits and stuff. there would be. You know, I wrote for a magazine where they paid us in beer. It was back when I still drank. So
well, that's okay. That's how we pay Brett. It's just Triscuits and.
You were complaining about those? Those are huge for me.
That's right. Brett just told me you got a 10% discount at the bar downstairs. Yeah. Now I know why he works here.
Insider info. Caught again.
Yeah, oops.
Busted.
Busted. That's Brett busted. So the life of a poet was not...
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I didn't expect anybody to actually read what I wrote. I had no car. I had no furniture.
Really?
And
this was, where were you living?
I was living in Syracuse teaching at your alma mater, where I still teach at Syracuse University. And my idea was that I would write this memoir proposal. Oh, and one of the things I write about in the book is that I prayed for money. When I first started praying, this was before I was a Catholic. And I do believe you can be guided even before you've entered a formal faith tradition. You can be guided by God or the form of the Holy Spirit or however you want to state that. And I had a friend who was sort of talking to me. I was trying to quit drinking. She suggested I pray. She said, why don't you just pray on your knees every day for 30 days and see if your life gets better?
Wow.
And so I'd get on my knees, I'd say, keep me sober. And I'd get on my knees at night and say, thanks for keeping me sober. But I was talking to the light fixture. I've been an atheist my whole life. And finally she said, why don't you pray for what you want? I said, I want money. And you can't pray for that. And she's like, why not? I'm sure poor people pray for it all the time. I was like, okay. So I had a little overhead projection that I practically a laser, you know, presentation to this God I didn't believe in. And I said, I'd made $9,000 the last year I drank. And I said, I would like to make $12,000. Okay, $15,000.
Tough bargainer, God. All right, you convinced me.
Okay, $15,000. You know, I had health insurance. I don't need health insurance. I need a job that will pay me $15,000 a year. And 3 weeks later, a guy called and gave me $35,000.
Wow.
From the Whiting Writers Award I won. And it's a grant you don't apply for.
You just get it.
If
they like what you wrote.
So this woman, my spiritual director, Joan the Bone, I call her in the book, Joan the Bone, said, you must believe now. I said, no. It's ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. She said, well, you prayed for money. You got like more than what you asked for. What about this are you not getting? I said, oh, come on. I said, I was nominated while I was still drinking and being a drug addict. And so she said, so you believe while you were praying, there's 0% that your prayer influenced anything in the invisible world, that there's had 0%.
Yeah.
I said, well, maybe not zero. And she said, what's the percentage point? I said, 0.005%, that there is some God out there in the big blank universe that actually sent me $35,000. Of course, now I think God did that because he likes me better than everybody else.
Now that you've matured in your faith.
Now that I've matured in my faith. It's the old gumball prayer. Well, at that time, God knew that I wasn't going to fall for anything like, you know, pray for his will, which is what I try to do now. But I occasionally ask for money. I do.
I would imagine there's people listening to the show right now who practice their faith, don't practice their faith. We have several Catholics, several non-Catholics listening. What do you say to folks that now approach you having read your stories? Like, what if I'm struggling with believing in God or how to live that out? You've chosen the Catholic Church. Do you try to advise people? Do you sort of invite them in to listening?
I invite them to prayer. And I say, you know, if you have a faith tradition you're part of, but I think God does speak to us in prayer. Even I'd never been baptized. I had no tradition to even reject or lapse from. But I tell people, I think if you get on your knees, for me, getting on my knees was important. And I remember saying to a woman, what kind of God wants me to grovel on my knees? And she said, you don't do it for God, you fill in the blank. And I said, well, who do you do it for? She said, you do it to realize how helpless you are in the faith of the things that are frightening you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, you mean it's for me? Oh, okay. Well, all right.
Yeah.
I've gotten this incredible amounts of mail of people who are saying, you know, I'm an atheist, but I've been praying and I do feel a sense of quiet. And for me, it's very important to have a community. I mean, I have to have a church, but I think once you let even a little crack of light in, it's amazing what God is waiting to give you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like the penny in the gumball machine. That's kind of how it's been for me.
Wow. Wow.
I have a career beyond my wildest dreams. I have a kid who's employed in New York City. Itself a miracle.
That's a bonus. Yeah.
And I have a faith, a relationship with God and the church and prayer that, you know, I did the Ignatian exercises.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like the 30-day kind?
No, I did 30 weeks.
30 weeks, okay.
I did the, 19th annotation.
19th annotation.
Yeah, yeah. But I actually want to do them again. Do you know anybody who does them in New York?
Yeah, they do it at St. Ignatius Loyola on the east side.
Oh,
83rd
right.
And Park.
Is that, yeah, mm-hmm. I want to do that.
They do 19th annotation there, yeah. And I think a guy that is works for us at BustedHalo.com, Phil Foxrose, is one of our columnists. He's working on a spirituality group there. as a matter of fact.
Oh, I would love to do that. I want to do them again.
Tell people who are listening what exactly that means, to say the exercises.
Okay, the spiritual exercises is, you know, the goal of them. Well, it's what you do to become a Jesuit. Jesuits do them over 30 days during seminary, right?
Right. Sort of essentially like it's a 30-day retreat.
It's a 30-day retreat, but it's a whole series of prayers that involve many different prayer techniques, many of which mirror prayer and meditation techniques from, say, Tibetan Buddhism, the visualization you do and stuff like that. You told me a great story about a woman, a nun, who couldn't visualize anything. You said it on the radio. Wasn't that you?
I did.
Do you remember that?
A nun that couldn't visualize. No. A nun that couldn't visualize. And so what did she do? Remind me of the story, then I'll tell you again
the
story.
Maybe I'm wrong. You said, maybe it's not you, and I've got my radio guys mixed up. Maybe it's some Jesuit somewhere that I'm sorry. I really messed up.
If you think it was an amazing story, Father Dave will just agree that it was.
No, but she said, I can't imagine. I can't visualize anything. I can't imagine. I can't visualize anything. And the priest said, assuming it was you, oh, really, sister, haven't you ever had a sexual fantasy?
No, that was not me.
Scratch that last part.
I have never said that to a nun, no.
Well, but she began to laugh.
Sure.
Actually, I think it was Father James Martin.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that sounds like Jim Martin, friend of the show.
I've never met him, but I think that's... But, you know, my friends who are Tibetan, I have friends, very good friends who are Tibetan Buddhist, who explained to me the kind of visualization I do, which is only one aspect of the exercises.
Right.
The goal of the exercises, as they were explained to me, is to be able to see God in all things.
Yep.
And...
I mean, that was very, St. Ignatius really felt strongly that, well, and we talk about this particularly on Thursdays on the show. We say, well, sure, you can see God in church and you can experience God in hymns and things like that. But what if we really tried to look all around us for that? The exercises, St. Ignatius was convinced that we do need to work at it, just like, you know, working a muscle. And if we do it for 30 days in a row, or in the case of what more people can probably fit into their schedule, doing one of them over the course of 30 weeks in an evening or whatever, on your time or whatever it is, that we do, just like that person told you, sit down on your knees or go on your knees every day and pray. Even if you don't believe it, if you do something for 30 days, something affects you.
That's what I said. I said, and also here's the interesting thing, and this is where ego and all that gets in. What do you lose? If you don't believe, what does it cost you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the things Joan the Bone said to me is, well, she said many things.
Your spiritual director. Sounds like your butcher or something, so we should say clearly.
Oh, she was an alcoholic from Alaska, but she taught at Harvard. She was a very sophisticated Harvard social theorist, and she used to say things like, make a gratitude list for every letter of the alphabet.
Wow.
And I'd be like, oh, this is fabulous. I mean, this is real. This kind of intellectual exercise you're posing for
right,
me.
Right.
There's no way I'm going to do this. She says, just do it. And that's what I was going to say about when you said people who've lost faith or who have fallen away from either the church or whatever their spiritual practice. For me, the Catholic Church is a practice.
Mm-hmm.
The faith is a practice. It's not the dogma. It's not the hierarchy. It's not Mass. It's not just the people. It's not just Jesus. It is, and I think whatever you can do to practice. So I always say...
To live your faith.
To live your faith. So when I hear Christopher Hitchens arguing about dogma and theology...
The famous atheist who...
The famous atheist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always want to say it's a little bit like a guy who's watched a lot of porn who thinks he knows about sex.
Hmm.
And I think to read about the church and not pray and go to Mass, I mean, I don't know. Or any faith tradition, as you say, too. And so what does it cost you to pray every day for 30 days?
Yeah.
But you do feel like, here's the weird thing, you do feel like you're giving something up. Because when I started doing it, I had this sense that that I did believe in something and it was mad at me.
Hmm.
And later, when I did the exercise, much later, I mean, I wasn't even baptized for another 5 years. Later, a nun said to me, a Franciscan nun said, you know, often I grew up in this chaotic, what they call a hard scrabble Texas childhood. Whatever that. It makes me sound like John Wayne or something, some Dickens orphan. But she said, often if you grow up, you know, you'll strap on to God or your higher power or whatever spiritual thing you believe, you'll strap on the mask of whatever hurt you.
Hmm.
And so if you've been neglected, I was pretty neglected, My mother tried to stab me with a butcher knife when I was 5 years old. I mean, it's, you know, it wasn't a great childhood. And it's been a really great since then, I've got to say. If you start there, things really look up fast. All you have to do is get car keys. I have a sense that, I don't know, I've just trailed off. Father Dave, you have to rescue me. I'm drowning.
Let me rescue you.
Thank you. I need help.
Let me rescue you by asking that for you, I mean, we talk a lot about vocation on the show. We believe as Catholics that God calls us to use our particular gifts. Does it feel like writing, even maybe now, that faith is important to you, takes on a more kind of vocational aspect?
Well, it's funny. The last book of poems I have, which I brought for y'all to give away at some point, is a book Thank called you. Sinner's Welcome.
There you go.
Which is... In the church I went to in Syracuse, the priest hung it across the front of the church, yeah. like at a car, you know, used car lot, you know,
sure.
like, you know, 50% off. Yeah. I was like, sinner's welcome. I thought, what a great thing, because you think you can only go to church if you're a good person.
A lot of people think that.
A lot of people think that. Yeah. Unfortunately, that would leave a lot of us out.
Right, exactly.
Me most particularly.
Sinner's welcome.
But do I have a sense of vocation? I have a good friend who's a Dominican down in Washington, D.C., who met me at this Catholic Information Center, which, as he explained it to me, is run by these Opus Dei priests. And I said, do they know that who I am? They invited me there to speak. You know, like, do they get it? Like, I'm not the most traditional, you know, I'm just learning this whole Catholic thing, which I explained to them, and they seem very nice about it.
Did you tell the nun story, the whole...
Not only that, I did confession there where you get on the knees and on your knees, and it's in the... I'd never done confession like that. When I do confession, you know, I've been a Catholic now for, I don't know, 15 years. You sit down and talk to your priest.
Face-to-face,
yeah. Yeah, face-to-face. And so I got to go on my knees in the room, and the little thing slid up.
Yeah, there you go.
And there's the disembodied... It didn't
Just like in the movies.
It didn't bother me. It was like in The Godfather. And you know what I did? I forgot... my act of contrition.
Oh.
In the middle of it, my mind went blank. And I said, look, Father, I'm so sorry. I'm over 50. I've been on the road for 2 weeks. He says, it happens all the time. I said, I know you're being nice. Okay, so what's the next?
It does happen all the time. He wasn't being nice. Absolutely, it happens all the time.
I just went blank. I was like, oh, great. I come to where they're black belt Catholics. And then I I stumble in and they think, here's some bogus Catholic from some... face-to-face confession joint.
Well, I think that's the point, is that we are all sinners and we're all bogus in some ways, but thanks for bringing that out in all of us. The book is called Lit, Mary Carr. It was a pleasure, I hope, because you sort of live in the area. You should come back and talk to us. This is fun.
I want to come back and have call-in. I want to have call-in.
We'll do call-ins next time.
I want to do call-in.
All right, because I'm sure they'd love you.
Oh, wait, can I say one more thing?
Of course you may.
I'm a finalist for the National Book Critics Circle Award.
Ooh.
Only
people
five
vote?
Of us.
Can people
yeah.
Vote? All right, how do they do that? We can get some listeners to
only
vote now.
Book critics.
Oh, okay.
So all you book critic Catholics
that are listening right now,
exactly,
vote a finalist for the National Book Critic Circle Award. Critic Circle Award. Lit is the new memoir. If you haven't caught the other ones, The Liars Club and Cherry, I'm sure they're still available too. Read them all. Would you have to read them in sequence necessarily?
No, can read them however you want.
Whatever you like. Mary Carr, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
And we are too.